Okay, so everybody should have one sheet in front of you, one double-sided sheet. Do not be easily angered, part two. We would like to thank Karen Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's Lox and Learn. Lili Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov. Their neshama should have an aliyah. We are going to move relatively quickly today in terms of, as you can see, we only have one sheet, which is strange for us, but we do have the Hanukkah craft day, so we got to get prepped for that, so we can't run too late today. We are looking for volunteers. If anybody's around a little bit later today, even for an hour, we'll take you. We can use the help. So today we're going to continue our discussion. If you weren't here last week, don't worry. The stuff that's going to be relevant, we'll briefly review. And then we might not even finish completely the discussion about anger this week. We might continue it for a future shiur, but we're at least going to give a little bit more, hopefully come away. I know last week we ended up with more questions and answers. Today hopefully we'll have a little bit more practical guidance. If not completely, we'll do the rest at a different time. But for now, let us review. We are in source number one. This is what the Mishnah says. I cut the Mishnah out a little bit, just focusing on the relevant parts for us today. Haim Amru Shlosha Shlosha Dvarim. They said three things. The first person we're going to see is Rabbi Eliezer. What does he say? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yikvod Chavercha Chabib Alacha Keshalcha. The honor of your friend should be as dear to you as your own. And the second thing he said was Va'alti Noach Lichos. Do not be easily, quickly angered. And number three, B'shuv Yom Echa Lifnei Misascha. Repent the day before your death. Today, as we speak about anger, which is our main topic, we'll also see, as we started to last week, how anger relates to, anger's the middle clause. So how anger, the middle clause, relates both possibly to the first clause about honor, and as well as we'll end off today with how it possibly relates to the third clause, which is repentance before the day that you die. In terms of last week, the main thing that you should know if you were not here, or review if you were here and don't remember, is the source number two from the Rambam. We're not going to read it inside, but if you want to, feel free. I'm just going to take out the most important part. The Rambam says that when it comes to anger, even though when it comes to other traits, we follow the middle path, that we want to try to not be an extremist on either stream of character. We want to be moderate. When it comes to anger, we go to the extreme opposite. We want to be anti-anger. Never feel anger, the Rambam says. Sometimes you might have to display anger, but it has to be external. Internally, you should not feel anger because it's such a despised and terrible trait. What we saw last week is that might not be everybody's opinion, and that's what we're going to jump into today in terms of, is it possible or is it even warranted within a Jewish perspective to argue that you should never feel anger. As we saw last week, and we'll see this one inside again, source number three, the Abarbanel says, based on our Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, and the rest of the shiur is all going to be jumping off based on this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, because if you recall, what does the Mishnah say about anger? Does it say, do not get angered? It says, be slow to anger. Don't get easily angered. That's not saying the same thing as don't get angered. So if you look in source number three, the Abarbanel says at the end of the second line, Lo amar timatze aval tanua. So it doesn't say that you should not find anger, but rather anger should not be rest. It should not rest. Why? Lefi shehischadshus hakas hidabar tiv'i. Anger is natural. Anger, as we said last week, is a universal emotion. It's something that everybody feels, and it's perhaps impossible to expect for the Rambam to say, even though the Abarbanel doesn't address the Rambam here directly, but it's impossible to expect that people never get angry, should never get, and not even expect, but that should be our goal, to never get angry. Perhaps there's good anger. Perhaps there's anger that's appropriate. So the Abarbanel says it doesn't say never get angry. Anger is natural. It shouldn't be resting on you at all points in time, that it's so easily accessible. In addition, it shouldn't sit with you. And so if you get angry, you shouldn't ruminate about it. You shouldn't be thinking and feeling it for days, hours, however long it is, years, lifetimes. It should be something that, yes, may be appropriate to feel at times, but not something that should be yanuach, that should live with you, that should be with you, that should be so easily accessible. And then he says, this is what we're going to focus on a little bit today. So what are we supposed to do about this? How are we supposed to make this kas? How do we utilize the good kas but stay away from the bad kas? So let's look at source number four. This is new stuff. Okay, so big picture, we're talking about anger. Number four. Rabbeinu Yonah says on Avos, so again, jumping off of our Mishnah, Al tihi noach lichos. Yaduahu, hu, this is the bottom of your first page. Yaduahu, ki midas hakas hi ra ad ma'od. So anger is bad. It's very bad. Ah, however, teva b'nei adam lios nimshach acharah. We have a slight problem. It is natural for people to be drawn after anger. So you're going to get angry, but shouldn't be easily angered. Because, again, part of us desires, whatever that means, but part of us is drawn to anger. So now we have to find that balance. When is it appropriate? When is it not appropriate? So tishko b'mozne sichlecha, we have to think. We have to weigh. So here's number one. Is this something worthy of getting angry about? That's the first question we have to ask ourselves. Is this something worthy of getting angry about? The im timse shum tayin lahasir kascha batzleid. If you can find one reason, one little smidge of a doubt, to say maybe I shouldn't get angry here, Rabbeinu Yonah says, go with that. Find the excuse not to get angry. Again, I know this is easier said than done, but find the excuse not to get angry. Al kopanim, try. Vaz ye kascha imcha. And then you're going to have kas, but it's not going to be so strong. It's a pasuk we quoted last week from Kohelet. You shouldn't be quick to anger. It should be slowly, waiting, patience. And also, in terms of content, has to be for a good reason. So number one, if you can find a reason not to do it, don't do it. Think it through. The foolish person, what does he do? Because it's so easily accessible. He's quick, easily triggered to get angry. He doesn't know how to control himself. Even though he knows this is going to cause destruction, he can't control himself. That's the ksil, that's the foolish person. So step number one is that we need to be slow. We need to think. Try to find excuses not to get angry. Yeah, quickly.
So how do you differentiate between a robot and a human? A human is going to react to good, bad, different.
So we addressed this last week. Just briefly, humans are not like, you can program yourself if you want to use your metaphor. Right? Humans can think, and that's the whole point, is that we can't just push emotional buttons where somebody says, okay, that's it, I'm angry, I can't control myself. That's not a Jewish approach. That's not even, I would argue, a psychological approach that's helpful, and it's just not true. You could, through hard work on ourselves to be able to control our emotional reactions. We could. It's not a robot. We're not going to become automatons. We are humans. Emotions are important, and emotions serve their functions, and sometimes we're not going to be successful at controlling our emotions, but at the end of the day, we could. We can control our emotions, and the main point is, how are we going to control our emotions, at least starting off? What's Rabbeinu Yonah's tip? What is he saying? What do we need to start doing? Thinking. Go slow. You got to think. We shouldn't be just an automatic trigger. Oh, They make me so angry, I can't control it. You got to think. You got to take it slow. Yeah, not easy, but that's the goal. If you look at source number 5, source number 6, we'll do them quickly, but it's a similar idea. Flip the page. The Me'iri says here in his base of Bechira on Maseches Avos, again, Al Tinoch Lichos, skip to the second line. Kilomar, it's around 8 or 9 words in the middle, smack in the middle of the second line of source number 5. Shelo Yehe Koes Binakel, Elo Le'itim Rechokos Al Dabar Gadol. We shouldn't get angry easily. Rather, it should be infrequent and on big topics, things that are really important. Again, we haven't really given strategies yet, and maybe that's what we'll see if we have time today. If not, we'll focus on that next time, how to do this. But we're just getting started here to prove the point that through thinking, through taking our time, through patience, we can learn to be able to start to control our anger. Source number 6, the Magen Avos of the Rashbats. 14th, 15th century, and the end of the second line where I bolded it, Sha'afilu bidvarim shakas roi bahem. Here he says, even for things that we could argue that anger is worthwhile, is important even, Tzarecha adam shi'ikablenu b'metinut, you still need to do it with some level of patience, with some thinking beforehand. Lo ye noach umayir b'kaso. You could get angry. It's appropriate here in the context. Again, we haven't explained what that context is, but there's a context here that you could get angry, but even then, take it slow. B'metinut. You have to have some patience. Okay, so now, basically 4, 5, and 6 are saying the same thing. Slow down, think before you get angry, even though it's worthy. All different than the Rambam, where the Rambam says you should never get angry. Even though the Rambam says, okay, outwardly, inwardly, no, they don't distinguish between outwardly and inwardly. They seem to be arguing, especially the Abarbanel, this is natural for you to get angry, and in the appropriate place, you can feel anger. That's okay, that's how I'm reading this at least. You can feel anger, and there's no problem with that. Again, but it has to be done appropriately. So let's see a little bit more. Now we're going to go a few more steps here. Source number 7. The Teferis Yisrael is a later commentary, 18th and 19th century, of Israel Lifshitz. So he says, Yikvod Baltinoach Lichlo. So he's going to connect these two together, the honor and the anger. Bemidos, Hazar Biyoser Mikas. You have to be very careful when it comes to anger. Shabbat Sluyin Midos Raos Rabos. From anger, there's other things stem from anger. We all experience this when we get angry. There's a lot of negative consequences that come with that. And therefore it's important to focus on. Mishum. Dekol kas bal l'rov. So now he's going to make an argument here. Let me think about this, if this is true to you. Where does anger come from? He says, rov. Dekol kas bal l'rov. It's a very interesting way of phrasing it. All anger comes for the majority, right? From the majority, okay, of places. Shepaga echad v'kavod chaveru ma'at. My friend, my acquaintance, I don't know if we want to go so far to call friend, right? Insults me. Hurts my ego a little bit. Says something that I don't like. So he injures my own kavod. V'chavero chozer umaknito ma'yoser. And then it starts. So you get me a little bit, so what am I going to do? I'm going to get you a little bit. I'm going to dig back at you. V'shuv ha'acher meshivu kashus yoser v'yoser. And then it escalates. I go a little bit higher. Then you go a little bit higher. Then you go a little bit higher. By the end, we're insulting everybody's mothers. And, you know, we've gone too far. Right? So it keeps going. There's a cycle here where people keep pushing each other farther and farther, insulting farther, further and further. V'shuv ha'acher meshivu kashus yoser v'yoser. Chazal, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Haytagra Demaya, Labatka Demaya, Lachain, Yatsu Atana. So the advice here from the Mishnah is Imtirzali Shamer Mikas. So what's the goal? What's the trick? What's the way that we can avoid anger? Shemafracha Gufa Nefesh, as we know, anger destroys, hurts our body and our souls. So what's the trick? Yihi Kavod Chavercha. That you should respect the honor of your friend. So he's tying the second clause in our Mishnah back to the first. The kimodlo nichalach shiavuscha gamberem. As you don't want anybody to insult you, even if it's just a little bit of an insult. It's a hint. It's a backhanded comment. Gam ken yishomer libli lomar lechavercha davar sheyifka kavod chavercha. So then you should also be super careful not to say anything that's going to insult your friends at all. Gam rak b'mixas, even if it's a little bit. Because what happens when it starts with a little bit? Escalates. It keeps going. Ukemosha b'im zilzul acherim, zilzulas acherim, lo nichalach sheyizalzulcha yoser mimasha zalzalta. Right? You don't want to person to insult you more than you insulted them, right? That's not fair. I just did a little bit. And you went too far. Right? Kain im zilzucha los zalzum zalzucha yoser mimash zalzelcha. So take that, say that 10 times fast. But the point here is basically another trick. We started trick number one. Think, slow down, patience. Trick number two. Be careful with the honor of your friend. Don't start little fights. They dig at you, stop it there. You don't have to fight back. And that's the way to start controlling your anger. So that's trick number two. Let's see a few more tricks. Number eight, the Medrash Shmuel, 16th century commentator here. Very fascinating. He's going to say, I think, two or three things that are going to be important. I'm sorry there's no English translations for these, but I'll do my best to translate each phrase. So, Veli Nira, source number eight. Veli Nira, the Efshar, ki ashtei chalukos harishonos heim acha. So here we go again. He's connecting clause one and clause two in our Mishnah. The Kabanos Rabbi Eliezer li zar al akas. The Omar in tirtze liknos mi dazu. If you want to instill, if you want to inculcate this non-angry stance, shlote noach lichos, it's not easy for you to get angry. Hishtadel shiekvod chavercha chaviv alecha kishlacha. You should be very careful to have your honor's friend, your friend's honor as a priority for you. Vahaftalo kamocha, balti noach lichos, and don't be easily angered. Kolomar says, so far similar to everything we've saw from the Tiferes Yisrael, which is actually a later commentary. Kolomar, bezel lo tie noach lichos, lefi, shila olam eina kas ki imrak, misibas. So now he says it a little bit stronger. Remember the Tiferes Yisrael was said, kas only comes, for the most part, from your friends insulting you. He says, Shila olam enakas, ki im, rak, which is the only reason anger comes. I'm not sure I agree with the statement, but the only reason anger comes is, she rak misibas heyos ha'adam mekil es kevod chavero. The only way I'm able to get angry at you is if I don't care about your honor. If I honestly cared about your honor, and if I honestly saw the, let's say, tselem Elokim with inside of you, the spark of God within you, even if you did something wrong to me, if I really saw that, he's arguing here, you wouldn't get angry. If you really honored your friend, you wouldn't get angry. Alkein koz kenegdo, umecharfo, megadfo. So you do that when you don't see their anger. Nimsa, shema shekazv, yikvod chavercha, chavala kashofa, hiakdama v'siyua v'trufa, la'adam l'bal yika. So this is the way, this is the medicine to not get angry. Work on honoring your friends. Skip to the next paragraph here, same side, just a little bit, few lines down. Inam, to give another explanation. Tziva la'adam, shintira shum adam nogea b'kavod chavercha. So now, this is, I think, an excellent point. And this, he's actually backtracking a little bit on what he just said, I think. In theory, because he said the only reason I'm going to get angry is if what? If I don't honor my friend. Let's get a little more complicated here. What if I'm not talking about my own anger for something you did to me? Let's say you insulted my kid, you insulted my friend, you insulted my spouse. That's not me. So that's worse. But now, so how do I deal with that? Can I get angry at that? It's one thing to say, if I honored you, I wouldn't get angry. But you just disrespected not just me. It's okay, I can say, I'll pass over my own gaiva or my own ego, but you just insulted my kids, my parents, etc. So how do you deal with that? So now this is going to get pretty interesting. Inami, tziva lo adam, shim tira shum adam nogea bekabur chavercha. So if I see you insult somebody else, my friend, umecharfo, megadfo, and you insult them, yehi kvod chavercha chaviv alecha kesholcha v'lo tishtok. So now he's flipping it. I have to keep my honor of the friend that you just insulted as my priority, and I can't keep silent. Because if you insulted me, chances are it would be hard for me to keep quiet. Now I see you insult my friend, but now I'm sorry, I'm too much of an anav. I don't like to get angry, so I can't say anything here. But you just insulted my friend. So he says, you have to speak up. So he said, but look, we're not, doesn't mean you get angry. We'll see. Let's hold off a second before you send angry text messages to somebody. Below tistok rak, tamod kinegdo vitiskot erimo. You should fight back. You should argue back. Alasher naga bikvod chavercha, because you insulted my friend. Ukimoshim haye nogea bikvodcha, if you insulted me, haye to ome kinegdo, then of course I would have stood up for myself and we'd kote and I would fight back. Again, argue back. I don't mean fight physically. Lufisha naga bikvodcha, bikvod chaviv alacha, kenya kvod chavercha, chaviv alacha keshelcha. So here he's flipping it. He's saying that I have to stand up for my friend if you insult my friend. Okay, but now we got to be careful. Am I promoting anger here? Is he promoting anger here? Fighting? It sounds very not so good. So now, second column here, he's continuing. Ulufi, right? Same page, right to the left. Ulufi is a continuation. Shilif amim yomara adam im ani miskoted im amecharf amegadev. If you're telling me now I got to fight with this guy, I got to argue with this guy, hareini mochrach lavol l'chal kas, and I'm going to get angry. Uval l'chal kas, bol l'chal tos, and if I get angry, what's going to happen? Bad things. I'm going to make mistakes, right? The whole point is here is anger is not good. So can it really be you're telling me to get angry? V'avral lo yebecha elzar, and there's a prohibition perhaps that when you get angry, it's like you're worshiping avodah zarah, as the Gemara says, you're worshiping idols. So are you really telling me that I should get angry, fight for the kavod of my friend? Al kein amar atana, ani nosin lecha etza l'taken es hakol. Here the Mishnah tells us, here's the proof. Here's the etza, here's the advice. Samach v'al tinoach lechos, klamar l'olam kishata rotze lechos, Targil atzmacha shalot tichos mehera. What's the advice? Don't get angry quickly. Ki priya mehirus, it's that impetuousness, it's that quick, hot temper that's going to get you into trouble. Ki priya mehirus charata, you're eventually going to regret it. Ve'efshar shetichos shalot kedin, you're going to get angry inappropriately. Ve'averi hibyatcha, it's going to become a sin. Rak tamtin ma'at, take a break. Achatishko b'mozne tzedek, think it through. Imroi shetichos imlav, if this is something worthy of getting angry or not. Al kein amar balti noach lichos, that's why the etza is, don't be quick. Kilomar shlo tichos mehera, don't get angry quickly. Amna, here's an important point. However, achar sheshakalta besichlicha, after you throw it through, and you have decided in a cool, rational way that this is something that's worthy of getting angry about, Roy Lassos came. You should. Roy Lassos came. You should get angry about that. So if somebody insults my friend, I should get angry about that, but slow down a little bit. Take a step back. Think it through. Is this appropriate? Am I reacting correctly? Am I acting in the right way? What? Count to 10. Take a step back. Think it through. And then, yes, you can get angry if it's appropriate. So at least one, let's not expand this. We got to be careful. Let's not expand this to every single situation, because at the end of the day, it is within our own mind to make this decision. Is this something that's worthy of getting angry about or not worthy of getting angry about? All we've seen is one possibility here, is that it's worthy of getting angry if somebody is insulting your friend. Yes, Chaim.
It's not very time-wise practical to do that. In the heat of a moment,
right,
and there is a heat, you have heated individuals involved, and it's not just, and my question is, it's not just interpersonal. Somebody makes a derogatory comment about Jewishness, about Israel, about something that's very dear to me.
Right.
Is that in the same realm, or is it only dafka regarding another human being?
Right. So again, so here now we're, Chaim's asking a good question. Now can we expand to values? So we spoke about, okay, another human being defending their honor. Can I defend God's honor, the Torah's honor, Israel's honor? And so the answer is yes. Right, so that would be something that would be worthy of getting angry about, I assume, according to the Medrash Shmuel. Let's put that in the list. But now you're asking the question on all of those things, is that it's not practical all the time to take a step back and think things through before you respond. The answer, it depends on the context. I would say that the operating principle here is try to. Right? If you can, say, you know, let's take a break. Let me think this through and let's talk about it. Let me decide what my arguments are. You talk about politics. You talk about religion. You talk about all these things. And when people don't think it through, there's usually not good consequences. So you take a step back, ask the person, and then there's a way to do this. There's a way to communicate. It's not easy because the other person might not follow those same rules. So we'll hopefully get to, maybe we'll spend some time, I know we keep saying this, on how to communicate assertively. But I would say that the answer is yes. Your best bet is to try to wiggle your way out of a discussion for a few minutes till you think it through logically, what point you want to make, and then express it in a non-confrontational, non-angry way. Not easy, and sometimes you'll get into a fight with somebody.
On the street, somebody sees me with a yarmulke and calls me dirty Jew. What am I supposed to do? Let me think about that.
What are you going to do?
I don't know, but to think through my options at that time.
So I would say whatever. I'm not going to respond to you how you should respond in that moment. That's up to you, and maybe we need to think through what our things are. One second. But that should, if you're really concerned about that, then you shouldn't be thinking about it for the first time when you're walking down the street, right? So you should already know what your response should be if somebody says that to you. Right, so we can prepare for things that are going to be confrontational. We know when we're going to go to Thanksgiving dinner with our long lost cousins or whatever, or with our in-laws or whoever it is, that this discussion is going to go this way. How am I going to be mentally prepared for that? And now you say, oh, I can't control myself. It's such a hot button issue. I know what's going to happen. Let me think it through beforehand. Yeah. Right, so anger is, physiological components are involved to anger, but again, these are all mixed up together in the sense that your thoughts, your emotions, your physiology are all connected. So if I think things through, the argument, and this is, I believe, to be true, is that your physiology would be different. So depending on the context, is that if I come to a certain situation with the right perspective, then my physiology will be different. Now, part of the problem with anger, especially if you can't predict, if it comes like this, that's why it's Tomten, right? That's why you gotta wait, because if you respond just on that physiology and just on that emotional reaction right away, then you're probably gonna run into some problems. So the goal is wait. Part of waiting is to get that physiology down so the physiological symptoms will dissipate over time. Right, that emotional reaction does not last, or shouldn't last, forever. So wait till you calm down, and then you're able to have that discussion. One more, and then we're gonna continue. Yeah, guys. Why do we have anger? Okay. Okay, so the question was, why do we have anger, and why is it when is it to be appropriate? So briefly, I think the reason we have anger is because there are appropriate ways of using anger. It's a natural, universal emotion that, when used properly, is very important. I mean, again, as Chaim said, there's some values that we have that, when they're violated, we should get angry about it. You know, God, as you, I think, mentioned last week, whenever you read the Tanakh, God gets angry about Avodah Zarah, because there are things that should bother us. I don't know what the Rambam is going to say about this, but the Medrash Shmuel says explicitly there are things that are roi lichos. You just have to know how to use that emotion appropriately, and that's a hard thing to do, because I think most of us without training don't always know how to use it appropriately. And the Mishnah and Chazal, and through this, you know, Torah framework, we are trying to incorporate how to use this anger, which is universal and appropriate and effective, and you know, and adaptive in the appropriate way. Again, we're trying to put pieces together. When is it appropriate? When is it inappropriate? What does the behavior that's appropriate look like? What does the behavior that's inappropriate look like? Again, I don't think we're going to fully finish this picture by today, but we're starting to put it together. I want to make sure we see these rest of the sources, because when we do continue next week, whenever the next year is going to be, I want to make sure that we... we're good with this part and to move on to the next part. So let's keep going. We're up to the section continuing in the Medrash Shmuel. The Hachasid, it's a new paragraph. Okay, the goal is to end in around 10 to 15 minutes, maybe a little bit less. So let's go, and we'll take a few minutes for questions at the end. The Hachasid Zal, Perush, Ki kishetibdok yafet timsezah maimer noveah mimidasu alav shalom shi ayin tova. So now, if you remember, this is extra credit points. We wanted to say, to give for those of you who were warned here, so there's a flow of our previous Mishnayos. The first Mishnah started with something that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his student, first described the personality traits of his students. Then he went and asked his students a question. And what's the Derech Yisharah? What's the straight path? And then the students answer that question. And now each of the students is giving their own advice on different topics. So that's sort of personality trait. What's the straight path? Students' own advice. And the question is, with these five students, is there a connection between their personality trait, their answer to what the straight path is, and to what their advice is? So what we're about to read is a connection between the Ayin Tova, which was the Derech Yeshara, which was the straight path that Rabbi Eliezer argued we should take to have a good eye, and we have the whole shiur on what a good eye means, and to what he's saying here in terms of anger. So how is a good eye related to anger? So let's read this again. V'achaseh perish, kishetibdok yafeh, timsezeh maimer noveah mimidaso alav shalom shehi ayin tova. This all stems from ayin tova. V'zesha uyan it esha nashim ba'ayin ra'ah. So if you look, if you see, if you view the world, if you see other people with an ayin ra'ah, with an evil eye, with a bad eye, what's going to happen? Yitzla bitno mimumeh anashim. So you're going to see all the faults. You're going to see all the problems that everybody else has. Uvimaat siba kinodos chadashim yibaka. And with little, you don't need a big excuse, a little teeny thing, and it's going to explode. And your barrel's going to break. So if you have an ayin ra'ah, you're going to be looking for faults. And guess what? You're going to find them, not necessarily because they're there, but because your eye is filtered to be able to interpret things through that negative prism. Kikas bechei kesilim yanuach, because anger, for those who have this bad eye, who look for faults, is easily accessible, because you're always going to find those faults. Aval, mishu kasha lichos. What is the trait? How do you become more difficult to anger? So we're going to look at things through a good eye, through a nice eye. I'm not going to get easily angry because there's less available options to get angry about. And right, we're going to judge. This ties into judging people favorably. We've seen before to judge people slowly, favorably, look for the positives, give them the benefit of the doubt. So the ayin ra'ah gives you more excuses to get angry. In psychological terms, sometimes we call this the hostile attribution bias. So if you think about, we might have even mentioned this back in the day when we did judging people favorably, is that our brains are processing. This is really what an ayin tova versus ayin ra is. Our brain processes what other people are doing. We can't read their minds. We don't know what their intentions are. We don't know what they're really thinking. And even when we look at their actions, half the time we're just guessing as to what they actually meant or what they actually wanted to do. So we have to attribute cause and effect and intent to, we don't have to, this is what we do. We attribute cause, intent, effect on what other people do. And this is what he's explaining, the Ayin Tova versus Ayin Ra is, are you going to be more likely to attribute a hostile attribution, that the person's trying to hurt you, they're doing something wrong, there's a fault with them, or are you going to give them the benefit of the doubt? Or are you going to say that maybe they didn't mean anything bad? Maybe that's not really a character flaw of theirs and they were just having a bad day. So this is how he ties Ayin Tova to Ayin Ra. I think it's an important point. If you don't want to get angry, at least in terms of the number of things you could get angry about, try to attribute positive things to people instead of negative things. Two more points, and now we're going to end with these two points. We're going to connect now clause 2 and clause 3. Remember, clause 1 was honor, clause 2 was anger, clause 3 was tshuva before death. Right, do tshuva the day before you die. Right? And as we'll see and speak about in the future, how do you know when you're going to die? What does this mean? Etc. We're not there yet. But how does anger connect to this? So look at source number 9, the Abarbanel, who we saw earlier in a different context. end of the first line, second to last word, ve'ein trufa yoser na'osa lahasaras akas. The medicine that is the best possible medicine to take away anger is ki im bizikaron yom hamavis. To remember the day of your death. We're going to die. Is this thing that you are getting angry about really worth it? It's heavy. But if we had this operating principle, we'd probably do a lot less sins to begin with. You want to get rid of anger? Remember, we're not here forever. The thing you are thinking is so important right now and is so urgent, and the big picture really isn't. Source number 10, and we'll end with this. We'll have some time for questions at the end. Balti Noach Lichos, Veshub Yom Echad Lifnei Misascha. The Sfas Emes connects clause 2 and clause 3. He quotes his grandfather, Zikni Omar B'Shem HaKadusha Salevi. He says in the name of the Kadusha Salevi, another Hasidish Rebbe, the Eilu Ashnaim Echadim. These two clauses, anger and repentance before death, are the same. The Isa, it says in the Zohar, Kisha Adam Koes Nishmaso Nistalek Himenu. When we get angry, our neshama leaves us. Right? And we could all understand this a metaphor that we lose our ability to think rationally. That spiritual part of ourself is really incompatible with the unhealthy anger. Again, there's a place for healthy anger, but for the unhealthy anger, we're just not compatible. Anger and spirituality just don't fit that well. So when we get angry, the Zohar says, it's like our neshama is actually leaving us. We don't think rationally. We can't think the right Torah at that point in time. We can't connect to God. We're just so involved and enwrapped in our anger. And because of that, v'zehu v'alti noach lichos, she'im tichos, if you get angry, az nishmaso is going to leave you. V'zehu misa, it's death. V'tzar chatal lasha, that's why you have to do repentance. It's a very powerful statement. Right, so the animalistic parts of you take over. Yeah, okay, so we're going to close with this point, but we'll take a few minutes of questions. I do ask, just for the sake, because somebody posted last week that I repeat the questions, which to me is good, but it's a waste of time. So if you're going to, not a waste of time, but you might as well come and either speak up or you can come around here and just ask your question into the microphone if that's too much for you. Just say it really loudly. Yeah. The question is it literally that your neshama's leaving? Again, I don't know how neshamas actually work. You're not dead, but definitely figuratively. I don't know if he meant it literally or not. Loud. Right. So you get angry because your kavod's been injured. That's how. Right. Right. So if you have a constant sense of self, then there's a good chance that somebody insulting you is not going to cause as much trouble as this. That's definitely true, and that's another way to connect one and number two. Yeah. So the suggestion was that thinking of death doesn't help so much, and the antidote could be to think about what that God, this really comes from God. So I agree but disagree. So I think that for some people they would say thinking that this is what God really wants doesn't do it for me, right? So you're right. I think any of these thoughts fully inculcated could help. Maybe it's not a showstopper for you, maybe it's a showstopper for somebody else. I think that if done appropriately, not this isn't I don't think the goal here is to we'll have to actually see what Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Mischasecha means, and if that means that we should always be thinking about death all the time, so we'll have to get there. But this is the concept. If you don't want to think about death per se, think about broadening it out. That thing that you are getting insulted about right now, that you are angry about, is this really going to matter? And if the answer is yes, then maybe that's not the antidote, right? So if it's yes, this is something, this is Israel, this is God, this is my family, and this, even on my deathbed, I'm going to be angry about this, then maybe that's not the antidote for that, because that itself is so important to you. But for, I think, the majority of things that are not going to be important on your deathbed, then perhaps, maybe not for you, maybe not for everybody, but I can see why that broadening out to bigger picture can say that this little scuffle that I'm having about, you know, my garbage cans with my neighbor is really not going to be important, on my deathbed. Again, maybe it's not going to help you, but I do see that if inculcated could help some people. Let's hear somebody we haven't heard from yet. Yeah.
Just a comment. When people develop Alzheimer's, they lose their sense of brain, and as they get worse and worse, they become more religious.
Right. So with Alzheimer's, perhaps we lose the ability to think so much through, and then the lose the nefesh a little bit. Again, I'm not gonna. That needs a little bit more elaborating and thinking, but I hear the connection. Yeah, Barbara. loud. Yeah. Right, it's possible. So the neshama doesn't want to be around the guf. Doesn't really leave. I hear you. One last comment. Yeah. So thinking about a gadol, thinking about a role model. This is actually brought in therapy techniques. Is think about a role model. What would that person do in this situation? And again, I think that could help. My goal is for next time is we're going to move. I think we're going to move a little bit out of Perkei Avos, just because I think this is such an important topic, and we're going to just do kas straight on. I wrote an article a few years ago on using a therapy called rational motor behavior therapy, which I've quoted before in the past, using Jewish texts in the context of therapy to be able to treat various anger management problems. So I think just in terms of the feedback I'm getting is that there's a lot of ideas here. There's a lot of practical, like, so what am I supposed to do? And I think that's the best way to do it. So I'm gonna go through a bunch of different techniques, tie it from the therapy perspective, to bring Jewish sources on almost each level of things that I do in therapy. Here's a Jewish source that says it. Not that in therapy that I always quote Jewish sources. Not everybody cares about Jewish sources when they're in therapy. But just to show that there's a background to each one of these things that you'll find, a Sefer Musar that says, think about a role model. And then you'll find in the therapy books it says the same thing. Think about a role model. So, it's very, there's a lot of practical stuff we can take away with. And I think that unless you guys don't want that.